Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
A great story about what I think is a kind of Good Samaritan story. The huge refugee camps in Uganda serving South Sudanese fleeing civil war have now passed the ignominious milestone. The UNHCR confirms there are now 1 million people, 1 million people in Uganda. The scale of this refugee crisis is unimaginable, but for World Vision's Judy Moore, it's been a reality she's lived with for many decades. Judy has seen war, famine, disaster in 28 different development and conflict regions. She returned from Uganda just 2 weeks ago, and that's where she saw the South Sudanese massacres and Uganda's generous refugee response. After nearly 30 years in crisis relief, Judy still sees God at work in those situations. Judy Moore, welcome to Open House.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Well, the 1 million is an extraordinary number. It's larger than Canberra.
It's a huge number. I was actually looking at that and comparing it today also. It's twice the population of Tasmania.
Yeah, there it is. In fact, they're part of a larger number of refugees all in Uganda, but this is 1 million from South Sudan. What's the population of South Sudan?
Oh, it's about 9 million, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it's about a tenth of the population has left.
A staggering number. But people are calling this the forgotten war.
Yes, they are. And mainly it's because it's been going on for so long, it's been staggered. It starts and it stops, depending on the rebels and what they're doing. So sometimes it's peaceful and people will stop fleeing. Other times there's fighting and people start to flee again. So I think that's why, one of the reasons it's a forgotten war.
And it's worth pointing out that these are not people who have decided they want to leave. These are people, and they're not seeking asylum.
No.
These are people who just can't be at home because it's dangerous and they needed a safe place to go to.
Correct, Steve. Look, I was in South Sudan itself in 2014. I was in Malakal, where one of the places that all these people are fleeing from. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Malakal, I was holed up in a UN compound about the size of a football field, I think. And in Malakal town itself, there was 27,000 people. When I was there, it was empty. It was burnt. It was totally on fire. People had fled. We had about 30,000 of these people in the UN compound because they had nowhere else to go. And so it's not that they want to flee, but it's not that they want to go to leave their own country, but it's a case of having to survive.
Yes. What are the conditions like in the Ugandan refugee camps?
Well, Steve, they're not camps. That's one of the different things. They're actually called settlements.
Okay.
The difference is that with a settlement, the government itself has mandated that every refugee has the right of a local person. So they are given a plot of land. They have a right to go to business. They have a right to go to the schools, to use all of the facilities. And so they're given some land, a 30 by 30 metre plot of land, so that they can build their houses and they can cultivate some land so they grow their own food. So this is mixed amongst the host families. So you won't have your normal refugee camp where you look out and you see acres and acres and acres of plastic sheeting, but you'll see sheeting amongst the host families. Now, in 12 months' time, all of these sheeting will have gone. The plastic sheeting will be gone, and the host families will just have doubled in size because they will go out and use local materials and repair their homes and build their homes in the local materials, so that you don't have that vast refugee camp. And this also helps the refugees assimilate better into the local population.
So what's life like for them and for their children?
Oh, it's horrific. I mean, let's face it, they've fled for their life. They've left everything that they've got. everything that they own. They turn up in another country where it's a different culture, it's a different language, they don't know anybody, they've got nothing, and they're relying on somebody else for even for the food that they're going to eat that day. So it's not a, a good situation. The one factor that people say is, the refugees themselves say is, life is still hard in Uganda, but nobody's shooting at us.
Yes, all right. But what about the relationship between the host families and the refugees? Does that does that become positive?
It's at the moment, it's positive. And I say at the moment because, look, just think about it for a minute. You've got a million extra people living in, five different districts, but they are using the schools, they're using all of the medical facilities, and they've got some land given to them. But the government, if it doesn't fulfill its promises, and it would only not do that due to funding restraints.
Yes.
But if they don't repair schools, make bigger hospitals, make bigger schools, etc., you think of that million people using the resources of the local Ugandans, who are already poor people themselves.
Yes, yes.
But it's amazing that the Ugandan families are so amazing. They're accepting the refugees into the area.
Well, it rather puts into some sort of contrast the response of not just Europe, but Australia to outsiders.
Right, right, yeah. It's totally different. I think about that here, and I think if all the refugees that are legally trying to come in here, we treat them different than, but what's happening in Uganda, it's legal for the refugees to cross the border into Uganda.
Yes.
and the government is welcoming them.
Over the years, what's been the relationship between the people of Uganda and the people of South Sudan? Are we seeing any traditional or tribal enmity there?
Yes, there is. There are different tribe. They have different cultures. They have different language. As long as the South Sudanese stay on their side of the border, then it's fine. The refugees is a different story. But if the opposing forces come over the border to raid, then that would be a different story. But
well, it is something of a Good Samaritan story in that case, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It definitely is. I mean, you think about, there's 60% of the population that is coming across the border are unaccompanied and minor children.
Oh.
They've lost their parents on the way. They've seen their parents killed. They've seen their parents raped. They've been raped themselves. They come across the border. Other refugees themselves will take the children into their own family.
Yes.
And foster them.
Yes.
So it's refugees helping refugees. And that's just an amazing story. That's astonishing. I've never heard of it before.
Judy, you've worked for World Vision in this area of refugee settlement, rapid response, global rapid response, for something like 28 years, I understand.
Yes. I started in 1984, actually.
What keeps you going? Where do you find hope?
Oh, well, obviously I'm a person of faith, and that definitely is a major factor. Your hope and your faith is challenged beyond belief, but you don't give up. I told a person once, I'm never going to talk to God again. I just can't understand this is happening. And she said to me, Jude, never stop talking to God. Never give up your faith. Argue with him and yell at him, but never stop talking and never give up. So that's advice that I've held on to for all these years.
What does he show you in those moments?
He shows me in those moments that we are all the same. That this could happen to any one of us, but it's your choice which way you go. Do you go the to the left or do you go to the right? Do you take the light or do you take the dark? I mean, you have a choice, and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You have to choose to go towards the light.
Wow. And do you see glimpses of him in those who are taking in children and those who extend their hand across cultural barriers?
Oh, Steve, absolutely. I mean, there's no other human explanation. I mean, these people have got nothing. Mm. They're living in their grass huts. They're having to take food from strangers. They have nothing, but what they've got, they share. Now, if that isn't something given by God, then I don't know what is. No normal person does that. You have to have some kind of belief to do that.
Indeed. Well, thank you for your belief and thank you for your service and thanks for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Steve. Good night.